Sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
MB, hand to Bellinelli. Steps back behind the line. Now left-hand dribble drive. Long strides. Throws out to the wing. Waiting TJ McConnell for three. 14-point Philadelphia lead. McConnell out there half-court. Spins away from Rozier. Attacks the paint. Puts it off the window. And in. I mean, it has been a rout. McConnell against Rozier. Yeah. A rout.
Fourth and final hour, Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub. Celtics lose yesterday. No big deal. No big deal. Hate to break it to you, Zo.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the day is no big deal.
I feel cheated.
It means the game itself. The game itself is not a big deal. It's a scheduled loss.
Is tomorrow a big deal?
It's to be expected. Yeah,
tomorrow's a big deal.
Day
tomorrow's
a big deal.
Last night was no big deal, but tomorrow's a big deal.
Well, yes, because that's a scheduled win.
You're back home. You're back home. You've been the better team in the series.
What if Philly shoots lights out tomorrow? What if Philly shoots lights out tomorrow? What if McConnell's a go again? What if Ben Simmons finds his game?
I don't know that Ben Simmons is going to find enough game to make it be a series changer.
Okay. What if they still won tomorrow? Is that a problem? Is that still no big deal?
Here's what Shaughnessy wrote today.
If we get the 3-2, I get a little...
Shaughnessy...
I don't think that's a big deal.
Writing from Philadelphia says, back in Boston, this game will be reviewed as a mere annoyance, an unnecessary extension of a series that will inevitably be won by the Celtics. Right? Exactly that.
Dan's in with us when? Thursday?
He says the Sixers beat the Celtics in Game 4 on Monday to extend this series and force a Game 5 on Wednesday. Demonstrating an amazing level of sophistication and appropriate chagrin, the Philadelphia folks did not drop confetti after beating the Celtics.
Classy move by them.
He says he's not buying it. The Sixers had their chance in the first three games of the series, but they blew a 22-point lead in Game 2 and then imploded in a hail of panic and stupidity in their own gym on Saturday. There is a reason no NBA team has done this, and I'm telling you that these Sixers are not up to the task. I haven't been this sure of anything since I told you there was no way Doug Peterson and Nick Foles were going to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. He says, meanwhile, my dear Boston fans, can we not have 2 days of complaining about officials and how the NBA is rigged and how the league needed more programming to get to Sunday and LeBron in the conference finals? Okay, why can't we complain about that today? Oh, I'm not complaining about it. We can acknowledge it, though. Scott Foster.
Yeah.
Close friend of Tim Donaghy.
I mean, of all people getting teed up, it's Jaylen Brown followed by Brad Stevens. You know, it wasn't even that boisterous. It wasn't even that deliberate. Like, we're looking to tee up. Just give me one mumble.
So Brad Stevens didn't want to talk about getting teed up after the game.
Yeah, because it was stupid.
He said he just acknowledged it and he wasn't going to talk about it. Probably because, you know, he's a very truthful guy. Because he probably wanted to be like, yeah, well, that guy works for the league.
That guy's crooked.
Like, yeah, of course
that
I got
sucks, teed right? Up. Trying to play a clean game. Yeah. That guy's crooked. What do you want
me to say?
Check
his cell phone. Does he still talk to Donaghy? Does he still call him before and after the games?
Smart move by Brad.
Just going to avoid this altogether. Let's get the hell out of here and get back home and get a win. Which is why I'm not a huge fan of Marcus Morris getting dragged down into the muck in this series. Don't get into a war of words with these idiots. Act like they're not even there. The 3-0. He's flashing the 3-0 in the
3-1.
Face of Joel Embiid all game. And then he loses the game and goes to the post game and continues taunting him with, I wouldn't be saying anything if I were down 3-1. Can you just relax? You just lost today.
Because that's reality.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because I know I wouldn't say a damn word if I was down 3-1, but hey. We are different.
Can you at least talk your trash after you win the games, not lose them? Can you just do that for us, please? You're getting dragged down into it. You lost today, and you're still talking smack. You don't talk trash when you lose. You talk trash when you win. It's not that hard of a rule to follow. You look dumb when you talk trash when you just lost the game.
Sure do.
You lost today.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that today. Do that when you close them out. That was my thought. Coaching thought, Brett Brown. This guy actually made a coaching move yesterday. How about that? Made a coaching decision. TJ McConnell into the lineup. Starts makes an impact the way he's made an impact this entire series. I mean, you can make the case he's been their best player this series. Can you not?
I think you go
wrong.
I think you go home after that last loss. You sit there and you light that incense candle, and you know, spirits start talking to you. You know, you look out and say, "What should we do, man? I need a vibe here." I mean, you can feel the vibe this kid brings. This guy's a toolbox. Not the player, McConnell. He's good. But, I mean, what else would you do but else start this kid? He deserves to play. Kid's got a damn good motor. He energized that team. Seems like teammates like him. The bench was going crazy for him. I like him as a player. He's scrappy. Reminds me of Marcus Smart type player. You know, him to them is what Marcus Smart does to you. He's just an energy guy. Now, Embiid, you watch him play. Just doesn't seem like he sweats. He's kind of on cruise control. Just the size takes over.
All right, so you're Brett Brown. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Coach, you started T.J. McConnell today. What led to that decision?
Well, I mean, you look at the way he's played in a series, he deserves to start tonight based on what we have. You know, that's the way I'd answered it.
Gave us the best chance to win.
Yeah.
He's had a good
best
series.
Chance to win.
Needed to get him in there.
Yep.
Here's how Brett Brown decided to answer that question after the game.
I mean, the obvious is the obvious. Like, yeah, that's how he plays. Like, there's an injection of energy that you immediately know you're going to get with him.
Oh, he's so from Massachusetts.
And, you know, you heard me talk for the previous 48 hours of making sure that our spirit didn't take a hit. And I really felt, when I personally zoomed in, what can I do to help the team the most, was to remind them of how good a season they have had to retain, maintain, increase their spirit, and try to focus on that as much as anything. And there's no better player to help catapult the start of the game with that mindset than TJ. And the decision was based on a lot of other things, but that is the main thing, just the energy and the spirit.
So tell me how you, on a daily basis, increase and maintain your spirit.
Yep, Birdie, sit down, because here's what we're going to do, son. You get the game tonight.
Zoe's got
three big things.
Pen and paper right now.
I want you to maintain. I want you to increase. Take one from Amy.
He wants you to retain and
maintain.
Retain.
Here's where he's got problems. Like, what's retain, maintain? Maintain is keep it up.
You need to retain, maintain your spirit.
How do you retain it? So if you're going to maintain it, you need to replenish it with something to keep filling the tank.
To retain, maintain. Increase.
So he's been to one of these self-help things. This is what he's telling you right here. Like, you don't just make this stuff up. People tell you this. You read self-help books. Now, you go to that store at the mall. What's the name of that? Success? They get the pictures of the Eagles and the American flag. And
just the energy.
Energy.
And the spirit.
What, Coach, why'd you start T.J. McConnell? He's our spirit animal.
Yeah.
I mean, the obvious is the obvious. Like,
the obvious is the obvious. Is,
he's John Farrell. He's
the feeling
talking
is,
while he's thinking.
There's a lot of feelings here.
Yeah.
And that emotionally, we just got emotional.
It's like a Sarge Hub headline. I am going to talk to you and elongate. So what I'm going to do is maintain this headline. Retain.
And I really felt, when I personally zoomed in, what can I do to help?
I'm glad he personally zoomed in, him being the head coach. So it wasn't like somebody else zoomed in. He actually zoomed in.
Correct.
So which button do you press on?
He zoomed in.
Is this the F9?
He's got zoomable eyes.
Hardy, which
one? Zoom in on things.
Function F9? 9?
He's got an implantable chip.
What a tool.
In his eye. He's like the Borg.
I mean, you're
zoom right in.
The coaching advantage you have had in these two series has been a landslide. It has been a utter, unmitigated mismatch on both sides. I mean, you got a talented team in Milwaukee that you see them. They never came together, but that team's pretty athletic and talented. That coach stood there with his hands on his hips. He looks left and right. Left, right, left, right, left, right. This guy's talking about spirit animal.
You got Ty Lue on the corner, too.
I mean, really. Exactly.
Anthony and Revere. Hey, Anthony.
Thank you, Jim.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
How you doing?
Reason why Marcus Morris is doing that in Joel Embiid's face is because he's a he's the aggressiveness of the team, you know. He's a dog. He's a grinder. You got to get in his head. You got to shut him down early, you know. You can't let him talk. He brings everything outside of basketball to social media and stuff. Marcus Morris needs to get in his head, shut him down, close him out for the series, get in his head for next game. You know what I'm saying?
Seems really intimidated right now.
Yeah, he called him out in game, and then that player went on and won the game.
Yeah.
Right.
He looks intimidated. I saw him beat shaking in his shoes. Marcus Morris is getting on him.
I do think Embiid is an immature player. He's a young guy.
He's got to watch what he says.
Young guy. It makes you thankful for how mature a guy like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are. I mean, you have mature young players.
Is he some of the stuff?
I mean, if you've heard Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid after these games, you're like, well, these are kids. Because they make some clueless comments. They really do. They talk about they don't make themselves look good after games, wins or losses. 617-779-0985. Coming up next, I want to tell you the lineup the last time the Yankees and Red Sox met, and they were both the best teams in baseball, like they are right now. We'll take a trip down memory lane. You want to hear this next.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the number one song in 2002, the last time
Let the lyrics ride.
And Yankees.
I got time.
Met. Yeah. And had the best records in baseball. 37-16 for the Red Sox, 37-20 for the Yankees. Both off to a very hot start. Sunday, June 2nd, 2002, Yankee Stadium. Attendance of 55,602.
Wow.
Game lasted 2 hours and 52 minutes.
Ooh, quick one.
Your starting pitchers that day for the New York Yankees, Ted Lilly, was on the mound for the New York Yankees, and I had forgotten that Ted Lilly had played for the Yankees. You forget that he ended up there early in his career. I had forgotten all about Ted Lilly's days in New York. Say Ted Lilly, I think more of the Oakland-Toronto years. Ted Lilly was on the mound that day for the Bronx Bombers, and for the visiting team, it was Frank Castillo. On the hill. Frank Castillo was on the mound for the Red Sox. Frank Castillo, who is no longer with us, passed away in 2013. So, you ready for the Red Sox lineup?
Yes.
Or do you want the Yankees lineup first?
Let's go Yankees.
A hometown team. Let's give them the honor of having the lineup first.
Batting first. Number two. Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter led off playing shortstop. Enrique Wilson was at second base
that day. That's fun to say. Enrique.
Why is that fun to say?
Enrique, like Francisco.
Okay, Enrique Wilson played second.
Off the tongue.
Batting third was the center fielder, Bernie Williams.
Oh, much. Love Bernie.
The designated hitter that afternoon, Jason Giambi, who was batting 315 at the time. Batting fifth, the catcher, Jorge Posada.
Posada. The 2-2 to Posada.
In left was Rondell White.
Ooh, that's an outlier.
John Vanderwall was playing right. He was later pinch hit for in the game by Shane Spencer. Ron Coomer was playing third for the Yankees that day. And Nick Johnson was at first base.
This really isn't
Remember
a sexy...
how good he was supposed to be?
Yeah, he was
this
highly
not
touted.
A sexy lineup for the Yankees.
He later went to Montreal.
Yeah, they was
and,
in the...
and then Montreal went out of business. And he
what was Sheffield
went
from, and Redfield?
He was one of the guys who
Vasquez
went with the
deal,
team.
Right? Javier Vasquez?
Maybe. He was one of the guys who went with the team from Montreal to Washington.
See, I forget the 0-2 lineup.
He was there.
I thought you were going to say Sheffield was right field.
This is 2002. It's your starting lineup for the New York Yankees that day. Here's the Red Sox lineup.
So wait, these teams had the best two records in baseball. Just consider that.
Yes. Yeah, and it's odd to think that. And by the way, the Red Sox won 7-1 in this game.
Ooh.
Leading off, A Hall of Famer led off that day for the Red Sox. Do you know
who
it was?
Can I throw one more thing in before you say it?
Well, no, I'm not going to say it yet.
Best two teams in baseball, right in the midst of the steroid era.
Oh, yeah. Hall of Fame player led off for the Red Sox that day.
Ricky Henderson. Mama do know best.
Ricky Henderson did lead off for the Red Sox. He was later pinch hit for by a Red Sox fan favorite of that era. Definitely had a different physique than Ricky Henderson.
Not Trot. Nope. Daubach.
There you go.
Wow.
Brian Daubach.
Wow. Good for you,
I gave you some hints.
Yep.
You came up with it.
Just fat white dude.
Yep. Henderson led off. Johnny Damon was in center. He batted second. Shea Hillenbrand was at third. Nomar was at short. This is where it gets fun. Designated hitter that day, Carlos Baerga.
What?
I'll say it again. Best teams in baseball.
Carlos Baerga.
Sounds like a bartender on a cruise ship.
What?
Go to Puerto Vallarta.
And that was not the Carlos Baerga of the Cleveland Indian dominant run years. This was Carlos Baerga in the final years of his career.
Right.
Years. Was the Carlos Baerga. But he was batting .308 as of that day in 2002.
Okay.
Tony Clark was at first base.
Oh, my God.
He followed Baerga. He was below the Mendoza line on that day and for pretty much all of his time in Boston. Doug Mirabelli was the starting catcher.
Gross.
Time bomb.
Trot Nixon got the start in right field. Well, and I could give you all day to try and come up with the starting second baseman that day, and you wouldn't. I could give you hints. I'm not even sure you'd pick up on the hints. I don't remember this guy as a Red Sox player. I remember him really for his time with the Cubs. Played for Kansas City for a while. He was later a Met. He was a New York Met for a time.
Oh,
no
clue. He was not with the Mets for very long now that I just pulled it up. Yeah, that's probably a bad hint. Ray Sanchez.
Nope, never got it.
Was playing second base.
Would have never got that.
Never.
Framingham Lou Merlone, pinch hit.
What's he doing now?
Later in that game. Or actually, he was a defensive replacement. He did get an at-bat.
This guy's like, boy, where?
So Lou got into that game in 2002.
Stop. That was funny. Come on.
Frank Castillo, again, with the start for the Red Sox, went 8 strong, allowing 1 earned run in that game.
Think Price could match that this week?
No, I don't.
No. How about that?
Nope.
You think your $31 million pitcher 16 years later would match that? No. No, no, no. Wow. How about those lineups? I thought you were going to have some more meat in there, man. Like, you're getting the good years there. Yankees had a bunch of good years in the 90s, but this prefaced, you know, 03, 04, the great runs that were coming up.
So were the two best teams in baseball.
You know,
it was almost like the washing out.
Who came in to pitch the ninth? I would have guessed Ed.
Meatball Beck.
Okay. That's not a bad guess.
He's about that time. But he's late 90s.
Based on it being a non-save situation, this would have been a bad guess. But I would have just thrown it out there anyway because I think was on the 0-2 team. Was Urbina on that team?
I was going to say the Ugeth.
Ugeth. I think that was past his time.
No, I think that was a little after him.
When did he go nuts?
I'm going to look at the 2002 full roster now, if you don't mind. Ugeth Urbina was the closer on that team.
Wow.
I would have guessed Urbina. But it was a 7-1 lead. Casey Fossum came in relief. Here's your bullpen in 0-2. Ugeth Urbina. Wakefield was pitching out of the bullpen.
Good roll.
Casey Fossum was out of the bullpen. Rolando Araujo was out of the bullpen.
Araujo.
Alan Embry was in that bullpen.
Wow. Got a long career, man.
Not bad. Not bad. Sonny Woo Kim was on that team. Oh, that was the Dustin Hermanson year? Was that his first year here? Yeah, he didn't work out. Derek Lowe, Pedro, John Burkett, Frank Castillo. 2002 Red Sox. I don't think it really ended the way they wanted it to.
No.
No. Things went south from there. They finished the season 10.5 games back of the New York Yankees. I don't think that's what you're looking for.
No.
No. When you're one of the top two teams,
I mean,
at this point.
You look at the way they're built now, too, though. I mean, we're going to be able to look at it down the road, but I think both these teams are going to be in it till the end. Like 1-2.
Yeah, this is why the baseball playoff format needs to change. Yeah. One of these two teams is playing a one-game elimination at the end of the season.
Yep.
They could have 100 wins each, and they got to play nine innings to go on to the playoffs.
Oh. Anaheim was the wild card winner that year in 0-2. The Red Sox finished with 93 wins. Not good enough.
Wow.
To make it. Not good enough to be in.
With 93.
Angels won it that year.
I know, and I was about to say, the Angels, however, proved that they were a worthy wild card team going on to win the 2002 World Series. That was against the San Francisco Giants. That was the World Series, I believe, where Dusty Baker's kid had to get picked up at home plate.
Oh, my God.
Most memorable moment of that World Series. Dusty Baker's kid almost got killed.
And if it was the current playoff format, the Red Sox might have beaten the Angels and then won game, and they would have never won it.
How about that? One game would have knocked them out of contention. I hate baseball's current format. I don't like it. Never liked it. Never been for it. You play 162 and then you decide it with one game? Foolish. Foolish! You play series in baseball. Cut down the regular season. That is the solution. 617-779-0985. Hardy, our headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics and Sixers will play a Game 5 after the Green failed to complete the sweep. They lost 103-92 in Philadelphia last night. So Game 5 will happen tomorrow night at the TD Garden. Won't be a super early one because the Cavaliers won't be playing tomorrow night. They did complete their sweep of the Raptors, 128-93, four games and done in that Cavaliers-Raptors series. Capitals over the Penguins, 2-1 in overtime last night, so Washington is on to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. As we've been talking about, the two best teams in baseball, Red Sox and Yankees, going tonight in New York. It's the first of three as the Red Sox road trip continues. It'll be Drew Pomerantz on the mound opposite Luis Severino for the first of three, and some new Patriots jersey numbers to tell you about. Jason McCourty is taking number 30 from Daron Harmon. That means Daron Harmon needs a new number. He's taking an old one. Malcolm Butler's number 21 will now be worn by Harmon. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Jim's back there looking at Tom Brady contract numbers. He's been looking at him all day. He's trying to crack a code of some sort. He might be making progress. He's been running the numbers. He's been doing the math. He's rechecked his math. He noticed a trend. It's an interesting trend.
What's trend?
What's the trend, Jim? Tell the world.
Let's go, Mr.
Tell
Math.
The world the trend. It involves bonus money. It involves signing bonus money and off-season workout bonus money.
So on the cash earnings page that Beetle was on from, when we did this earlier, it says what his cash earnings are for every year, what part of that's his salary and what part of that is paid off in bonuses. He's received bonuses every year since 2007, off-season bonuses. At least $3 million, which he did for two seasons, and after that it's $6 million is the lowest.
Oh.
Last year, 14. The year before, you got 14. The year before that, 5. The year before that, 17. Then 12. Then 6. Then 14. Then 9. So he's been paid multiple millions of dollars every year as either signing bonus or roster bonus.
Which is why the cap number. Paid, those signing bonuses,
that's
those
one
are
big
paid
check,
in,
right? So?
Those are paid in March, right? They pay him in March.
March 8th.
And then roster bonuses are usually the start of the league year or something like that, right?
Right, right.
So I'm just curious.
That's why his cap number is 22.
Maybe he wants his off-season check this year, and maybe that's all it is.
Maybe he's used to getting a check at this time of year, and he hasn't gotten a check at this time of year because, he doesn't have any bonus money coming to him.
It's all game checks this year, right?
Right.
$14 million?
You got it. Yeah, when you show up in March and you get $14 million in your bank account, it tends to make put you in a better mood and makes you look forward to going into the gym, get a little workout in.
Well, now that, maybe that's why this offseason was different.
Yep. That's another,
If this website is correct, I don't want to trust it 100%, but I mean, it's pretty accurate.
But I mean, there's a reason the cap number is what it is, and that's because these bonuses have kicked in. He's gotten the front money on stuff.
18 seasons in salary. He's made a total of $44 million in salary in 18 seasons.
Oh.
$92 million in bonuses. Actually, $92 in signing bonus, $23 in roster bonuses. He's made more than half of his salary in roster bonuses.
Does it matter, though? Do you think that matters enough to him?
You tell me. Let Zoe tell us.
That's a guaranteed money.
Athletes
there.
Cashing checks in the offseason. Would you rather have that or your 16 game checks?
I'd rather have that. Give me the big number.
Yeah, but I
give me the one time. Win the lottery. You getting a one time payment, or you getting paid every year to year to year?
That's you. You never had a half a billion dollars in the bank like he and his wife
right.
do. Like whatever he gets this year, it's not going to put a dent into his money.
See, and
that's not going to make a difference.
This is the biggest difference for him too. Like when you marry her. Like most players, when you come up through the league, and say you get drafted somewhere, you're probably already engaged by that point if you have a serious girlfriend in college. So you're like at 23, you're engaged, she goes with you, and she supports you, she likes the team you're on. She's all in on the football stuff because she's been a football girlfriend. Or maybe it's your childhood sweetheart or high school sweetheart. Or maybe you meet a girl in whatever city you play in, and she likes that team. She's in on the football. This football thing is a tiny, minuscule hobby to her that she allows him to go play, I think, you know, and have fun. And he enjoys it. And he likes being with his team. But look at these appearances you could do, Tom. This guy makes bank when he shows up at these events, okay? You're coming in on helicopters. You're very well paid. Tommy, I made $43 million last year. You're good, hon. You know, if they don't dig you and they don't appreciate you, and if you're not going to be compensated for what you bring and how you carry that team, you got us. You're okay. We appreciate you. Us, your family. This whole dynamic is so different from everybody else in the league. The only other comparison you can really make is the kid Fisher married Carrie Underwood. Like
Mike Fisher.
Mike Fisher. This usually
NHL.
This doesn't happen. Right. But I mean, you got to go to another league. Don't worry, man. Carrie Fisher's making big, big freaking money. You know? Carrie Underwood. Mm-hmm.
Carrie Underwood.
So he's got her. Like, and at this age, at 41, this is why he even admits, I negotiated 2 years with her. Because you've got this weighing on you. She's like, what do you need that for? We could do this, that, or the other, and we could travel the world, and you could make appearances, and you could raise all this money for this and that, and they could pay you. It's easy. You don't have to get hit. You don't have your multiple concussions.
That's why I think it's just more about the dollar.
You could be my handsome date.
I don't think it's right, Hardy? About the offseason check.
Handsome
it
date.
Is interesting,
look
though.
Look at him over there.
Because, Jim, even if it's not about getting Hardy, the check itself,
look at him.
It's sort of a reminder that he's in a different place with this deal than he's been at the past. He feels like now he's at some new place with it, and it's maybe just caught his attention to pay more focus on his deal and his contract and maybe.
So he does have a roster bonus of $1 million, it looks like, each year, but that's by far the lowest of the past 10 years.
It's giving him reason to take a closer look at it and give more consideration to the deal because something is a little different than it was in previous seasons.
In the last couple of years, the money has been given to him because of that suspension when they reworked his deal and they bumped his salary way down right, so that he wouldn't have to give up as much.
Look at my hot date.
Hey, we have pens again.
Handsome date.
Just realized that. Our logo.
Yeah, Bird found a box.
You like that too, Hardy, right?
He found
the date, and he said it's my wife.
Bird said I found a box of pens.
You correct her.
Not your date. I don't
your husband.
Him.
Wife.
These look new.
Stop.
The Met was a good event last night from what I hear, Hardy.
Oh, yeah. A
lot of A-list
more and more,
there.
Like Rihanna with the Bishop's hat on. And
great
you
look,
could really
right?
understand why people are starting to dress the way they dress or why he put that coat on.
Who do you think was the best dressed at the Met Gala, though? I know you're a big fan.
Mitt Romney.
Katy Perry.
I thought he looked good. I thought A-Rod looked great. I thought A-Rod looked really good. I'm not, like, checking him out, but, I mean, I'm not wrong with that, but he looked good. Katy Perry, No, Jim.
You didn't see her?
No. Yeah, oh, I did. She's not best dressed, okay?
The video, Kim Kardashian, watching the video over and over again of the lady getting whacked with the wings as she was walking by.
There's something wrong with Kim Kardashian waist down. It's just, you don't have that kind of thin waist and boom, just goes out. Like, that's intentional.
You see,
yes, the huge fat modified ass.
It's
intentional.
It's getting old.
Arriving at the mat, and do you want to see my cute date? There he is. What a cutie. Isn't he a cutie, guys?
Stop.
Seriously.
Stop it. Stop. Stop.
It's a dog.
Both of you stop. Both of you stop it.
Can I show you one outfit that I think is just spectacular, Artie? Chadwick Boseman. Guy from Black Panther.
Oh, because of the theme had to do with the theme had to do with the Catholic imagination.
Yeah.
So he dressed up as
a priest.
How do you describe
a priest
it?
With priest-like. Pajama bottoms.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's slippers, so cool. Pajama bottoms, and a priest cloak.
Hey, as far as costumes go, that's pretty good.
That's a costume ball.
The problem with you, Beetle, is you don't have a problem with this.
What did
Mr.
Kraft wear? Do we have any
pictures
going
of
Mr. Kraft?
You like going out to events that don't really celebrate anything just for event's sake. You like a scene.
He's a seeker.
Yeah,
he likes a scene.
You are a bit of a scenester.
Who doesn't?
You just want to go to, you want to be a part of where the action is.
This guy over here wasn't invited.
I'm not that guy at all.
Yeah, a little bit you are.
No.
How do you explain how do you explain all those crap concerts you go to?
Ugh.
It's just a scene, man. You just want to be
there.
Well,
there's a difference between a party and a scene.
This is a party. I'm sure they're drinking.
Gross. Who's
Look
that?
At that. Look at that outfit. That is stellar. Oh, shoes.
How much
man, he had awesome
hey,
shoes
everybody,
on
turn
too.
On Zoe and Beetle. They're looking
awesome
at pictures.
Shoes. We'll retweet. We'll get those out there. Here. He's just angry. Artie's just an angry guy.
I'm angry at you.
Grumpy old uncle.
I'm angry at you because you like this stuff. You secretly think this is cool.
Give me my back pills.
You think this is a good thing.
All I want to know is, did Kraft and Brady talk last night at all?
It's got to be a picture of them
together. No one has a picture of the two of them together. They were both there.
You know him. He's a kisser, too. He had to say, hey, Giselle, give me one of them kisses.
Give points to Kraft, though. All right, you're going to make me go to this freaking stupid thing. Where's my tux? I'll wear a black suit and a black tie because I'm a grown-ass man. I don't play dress-up.
He's looked so good at this in past
years. Like you jive asses.
Clean, like cocktail, you know, jacket with a bow tie.
Bunch of idiot children with more money than sense.
And he wore his sneakers again. Wore sneakers.
Did he?
Yeah. Kraft had the sneakers on again.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Yeah, he's got them. I get it.
I got a problem with
everybody. I get it, but still.
Nice pictures. Good pictures, Beetle. Thank you.
Bedazzled Air Force Ones. They were bedazzled, Hardy. Sparkly.
Aircraft Ones, not Air Force.
What did I say?
Air Force. That's the military.
Not Air Force One. That's President's plane.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Which is probably now bedazzled also.
Okay. Air Force One is also a shoe made by Nike. Thanks.
They put glue in it, like glue.
Today's takeaways are next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time now for the Awaken 180 Weight Loss Takeaway of the Day. Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Check them out at awaken180weightloss.com. All right. Am I going? Okay.
If you want to.
One of my irrational hatreds, as you have known, Keith Lockhart, conductor of the Boston Pops, went on the Get Up crew of 96.9, our sister station, this morning. So we can play that audio since they're our sister station. Interviewed by Wiggy. The great Keith Lockhart, legendary conductor of the, what is it, Boston Pops? Yeah. Wiggy asking him where the
he
Boston...
He was on to promote the spring concert series at Symphony Hall.
Okay, so you know you have a man coming in to promote his concert at Symphony Hall. Multiple concerts that take place there. And here they go.
Where are those concerts at?
Those concerts are at Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall?
Corner of Mass Ave and Huntington.
It's so funny. It is funny.
Where are those concerts? Well, actually, there's two. There's one at the Middle East downstairs in the larger room, and they're going to reopen T.T. the Bears for our second show, if the first one goes well. Thank you for asking, Jermaine.
we did one last year. It's
unbelievable.
You know, how's those concerts at?
House of Blues has been asking us to come down. We tried to do one there. We might do one at Fenway. Who knows?
Those concerts are at Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall?
Yes.
Where are those concerts at?
Unbelievable. If you could have one big concert or 5,000 little concerts, which one would you take?
That would have been better.
Make it a Wiggyism.
Yeah.
Perhaps you've heard of it. It's going to be a symphony stop on the Green Line.
It's going to be at the channel. We're going to have a show over there.
Thank you for asking, Jermaine. The Boston Pops will be performing at Bill's Bar on Lansdowne Street.
I've been there. Paradise.
I have something
today.
It's
going to be in Castle Island. We're going to do it outside this week.
Do it at the hatch.
Get there early. Yeah. Get a good spot on the lawn.
Get a good spot at one of the picnic tables outside Sullivan's.
Cape Cod Melody Tent.
Line's going to be long to get a hot dog, so try and get there early.
Try parking along the waterfront anywhere from the Columbia Road exit on over.
Do they have clam strips here?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So Zoe, for a long time, has been doing something. This has been going on for years, but apparently Tom Morgan finally had enough of it today and put together a compilation of Zoe being sneaky-dicky to the callers right at the beginning of a phone call. Mocking them, I think, is the best way of describing it. Here's Tom Morgan's compilation of Scott Zolak just from today's show alone.
Richie in Plymouth. Richie.
How's it going, guys? What's
good. Up? How are you, Richie?
Jake is in the car. Hey, Jake.
Hello?
Hey. Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Jim and Beverly on Tory Krug. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what do you say, Muck?
Hey.
What do you say, Muck?
Josh and Brockton. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
Hey.
Tom is in Middleborough. Tom.
Hello.
Hello.
Anthony and Revere. Hey, Anthony.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. I had two favorites in there. That one in the...
Hello.
Hello. I like Ken.
Speaking of Ken, let's get to Ken's call. It's my takeaway of the day.
You got Ken?
Ken!
Ken's a good one today.
Lowell. Ken's back now.
He's back, baby. He's back from Ocala.
Good derby talk
good
here.
Time.
Yep.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Beto. Hello, Hattie.
Hello, Hi. Ken.
Hello, Ken.
We got back about 3 a.m.
Yeah?
From Ocala, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, New York and Connecticut is a nightmare in the middle of the night.
But you know what's cool about that drive, Ken? I don't know if you did it. Did you stop it south of the border?
I saw that, but we didn't. We were time-consumed. I mean, we couldn't stop it. But Pedro's, are you talking about Pedro's?
Yeah, you mean you get a lot of little trinkets, some chicken fried steak, fireworks, you name it. All kind of cool stuff there.
Yeah, screw that. We were more concerned with the time. So I didn't even hear about it. That's why you threw me for a loop last time I called. Like, what are you talking about, sinkholes? I was talking about anacondas.
Anacondas?
You didn't bring that up. I didn't hear anything about the big snake.
No, didn't you see the thing on YouTube? Like, this lady walks out on the front porch. She's in a bathrobe and slippers, and she picks up the morning paper, and there's this anaconda sliding out from underneath the porch. It's like 20 feet long. It weighs 7 ounces.
Whose anaconda was it?
You know what they say about the anaconda, Ken?
What's that?
It don't want none unless you got buns, hon.
Got buns, hon. You could do side bends and sit-ups.
But please
don't lose that butt.
Yes. You know, if the thing ate me, he'd be dead in a minute.
So where was this front porch? Was this in South America?
I don't know.
So he's just it doesn't mean you could be YouTubing a house in Florida, because that's the way I took it.
Western Florida, Western as you would Florida? Say, would be the ground zero for the anaconda attacks.
There's a hut down in the Amazon.
He made zero reference to an anaconda on his last...
Never brought up anaconda.
On his last call. We checked. We reviewed the tape.
I don't know. There's
no references to anacondas.
I'm driving with Jack. He says he wants a triple X. Jimmy? Jimmy wanted
Jack
the triple
and Jimmy.
He wanted the triple X throwdown. I'd say dial 1-800-MIX-A-LOT. And you're talking about the anacondas. Get that healthy butt, huh? That kind of weird.
he's great. He's fabulous.
Kenny got back.
Yeah.
Got back late last night.
Make good time.
They really had to get
make
back.
Good time, boys. But that New York, New Jersey, man, that's a real bitch.
Nothing like
rolling
right into Lowell on time. You don't want to miss anything up there. Mm. Why stop at South at the border?
Yeah, busy day.
Yep.
Busy day. Yep. Made good time, though, way
we
back.
We got in 3 a.m.
How do you go to Ocala last week and not hear anything about the sinkholes that are literally devouring communities? Didn't hear nothing about it. I saw a snake on the YouTube, but that was it. It's the only thing we heard the whole time.
Actually went down there to do work outside on a house where sinkholes actually pop up on the outside of them.
Yes.
And sometimes swallow the houses. No. Wasn't mentioned. Okay.
Glad he made it back. Okay.
I'm glad.
Glad he's still with us. Felger Maz are coming your way next. We're back with you tomorrow as we get ready for a Celtics closeout game.
A big deal day tomorrow.
Game
big deal day tomorrow.
Tomorrow for your Celtics. Bye. Look at that. Look at that outfit. That is stellar. Those shoes.
How much
man, he had awesome
hey, everybody, turn on Zoe and Beetle. They're looking
awesome
at pictures.
Shoes.